Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, where we are a locally grown radio. It is 9.05 on the clock. Got your host, James, here. I'm joined by Seth Habager.
Good morning, everyone.
We got some fun stuff lined up for you, everybody. We're looking forward to getting into Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day. We're also going to get into kind of a Rock History 101. We'll get into our day in music history.
Nice.
And after this segment, we'll get into that. We'll dive in.
All right.
Looking forward to it. A couple of things I wanted to mention to kick things off. We'll get into our entertainment stories real quick here in a moment. First off, there is a really weird, just talking earlier about Prohibition and all that.
Oh, yeah.
There is a really great article at Wisconsin Public Radio. Go to WPR.org. And Joe Schultz did a really good job on this. How Prohibition Helped Save Professional Football in Green Bay.
What?
Yeah, it's an awesome article.
Wow.
It's a really cool, interesting article about just the way these histories intertwined and the really America's biggest small sports franchise.
For sure, for sure.
In all the four major sports, Green Bay is the smallest franchise, yet has arguably, if not the biggest fan base, one of the most, certainly unarguably, one of the most, if not the most diehard fan base.
Oh, for sure.
You see Packer game, the Packers playing this team or this team, and you always see Green Bay jerseys.
Yep.
You see them playing in England, and you see Green Bay jerseys.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the fan base is what it is. You cannot deny that.
One of those universal teams, yes.
How Prohibition Helped Save Professional Football in Green Bay. Get some reading in you, and get a really good article in there, too. Great local reporting by Joe Schultz there.
It's great Wisconsin history, too.
And I want to talk a little bit about the Southwood County Humane Society.
Well, we haven't had a chance to talk about them for a while.
Been a while.
Yeah.
It has been quite a while. We used to have a great relationship with them. Used to really, really get a chance to have a lot of fun for years and years. Carl and Pam would light up every time that they would come in and bring an animal in here and be able to talk about it. I do believe... I hope I'm not wrong on this, but I think that they even adopted one of their dog from them. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, Pam, if I've got that wrong. But I know how much the segment meant to them. And then when I started doing things, certainly I'm a dog person. I'm an animal person, really.
Right.
So I was looking forward to it. I had no idea how much I would love that segment. Easily one of my favorite, some of my favorite memories in radio were that. When she worked there, Beth, when she was there, would bring these animals in, and we had a great relationship. They haven't been with us for a while.
Yep.
Well, that's changing. That is changing a week from today.
Wow.
A week from today, January 12th, we will kick off again Pet of the Week.
Nice.
Pet of the Week.
It's back. Woohoo.
Yes. Cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun. Not only an opportunity for us to help support the Southwood County Humane Society, doing some incredibly vital, important work in our community. Great people over there. And not only a chance to bring attention to that, volunteering opportunities or anything else.
Oh, yeah.
But you're going to meet these animals, and you're going to maybe find your new best friend.
You never know. You never know.
Especially, like, there's never a bad time of year to adopt, but this time of year, you're alone, or you're cold, or any of these things are a factor. There aren't many better friends that you'll have in life than one of these furry guys.
Just think of the nice, warm cat in your lap. Petting a cat, nice, keeping you warm inside. See? Perfect.
We have some sponsors for this segment. A big shout out to Bow Wow Meow Boutique, Eway Sales and Services, and Cotton Thimble. You know, we're going to help. They have even more going on with this.
Yes.
If you'd like to be a sponsor, if you'd like to be a part of that segment, please reach out to us at 424-1300 and talk to the best sales staff in the business.
Yes,
right over there, Steph and Ashley will take good care of you. And a shout out to Ashley with this.
Yes,
great job by
her. She's kind of spearheaded this one. It's been really cool to see come back together.
Really, really good conversation with her the other day, and got to know her a little bit more than I did before. And man, we are so darn spoiled around here with those two. I have rambled about Steph, and I will ramble about her for years. But Ashley, a great addition to this team. We are really spoiled around here. We got some great people in this industry.
We do.
In this business, in this house right here.
Yes.
Check out more about the Southwood County Humane Society. They could always use a hand over there volunteering and helping out with these animals. Or if you are looking for a new furry friend. Visit them at swchs.com. swchs.com. Looking so forward to this. Is it the 12th or yet?
No. Just darn it. Hold your horses there. Or hold your dog sled team or whatever, you know.
Yes. Bryan Cranston back in the news.
Okay.
Walter White isn't dead after all. He's returning for a Super Bowl commercial for Frito-Lay's Popcorners. Bryan Cranston shared a picture of himself as Walter holding up a bag of chips with the caption, "Breaking soon."
Oh, really? Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. But man, seriously.
Bowl 57 airs on Sunday, February 12th on Fox. The game takes place at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, with Rihanna singing. Cranston won Emmy for playing Walter White on Breaking Bad. I know, I'm horrible.
He's turned into a little kid.
I really do. He also reprised the role on El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie, and Better Call Saul. Characters never die anymore.
No, they never do.
No character.
As long as there's prequels, man, you're good.
Iron Man's coming back.
Yeah. I mean, yep, it's like,
they are, and today, in the way the writing is now, you don't even have to ruin a storyline.
Yep.
So it's by now it's been pretty well talked about. There's going to be a Deadpool 3, and Wolverine is going to be it. Hugh Jackman is reprising the role that he retired from. How do you pull this off after Logan because of the way Logan ends and stuff? Well, they just grab him from a different time period.
Yes, or a different dimension.
Yeah.
It's easy now. They can do that.
I find it hilarious that something comic books figured out in the 40s or the 50s that Hollywood has just now started to realize, hey, wait a minute, we don't have to have our characters die. Actually, it's even better than that. We can kill off our characters, get the big hoopla of all that, and then bring them back.
Okay, this is amazing to me, okay? For so long, what was like, you know, looked down upon? Comic books were looked down upon.
Yes.
In television, what was looked down upon? Soap operas.
Yep.
They are now bringing the tropes from both of those things into blockbuster mainstream movies. Look, soap operas were exactly the same. You kill off a character and then they show up, or they're twin, or whatever it is. But they found a way to bring them back. Comic books have done the same thing.
Susan Lucci died 64 times on God from Trek. I don't know.
But she always came back.
She always came back. You're right, though. Or it was a dream.
Exactly.
Isn't this better than that? Like,
I agree.
The one I can't handle.
I don't mind all
the other stuff. I can't handle that. They just, the one time, you can use it once.
Exactly. You can use it once.
Dallas used it up. Dallas
can't use it again.
That's it. No more. Yep. Every time I see that in a TV show or a movie, I don't care if it's even something I like. I immediately don't roll my eyes. That's the one where I do. That's the only one. Like, oh, this storyline again.
The writers were just being lazy. Laziness. Oh man.
Top three laziest writing tropes there is.
Yes. It was all a dream.
Again, Dallas, that's one thing. Dallas could pull
They pulled it off.
It off. They pulled it off. Outside of that, it's done.
Nope.
I've never heard of it, never seen anybody else. I will say that Newhart had some fun with this.
Oh, but they played it for laughs, straight up.
They played it for laughs, though, yes. Because it was funny.
I'll never
forget that. I gotta love Bob Newhart. Great actor. Great delivery. Speaking of this whole dying and coming back thing, interesting we're talking about that because a romance writer named Susan Meekin allegedly died by suicide back in October of 2020. But this week, she returned to social media to announce she's alive.
Huh?
Someone who claimed to be her daughter announced her death on Susan's own Facebook page. She said it was a result of bullying in the book community. Posts have been made since on the page about suicide prevention. But this week, a person claiming to be Susan made a lengthy post in a private writer's Facebook group called The Ward. She said, quote, "I debated on how to do this a million times and still not sure if it's right or not. There's going to be tons of questions and a lot of people leaving the group, I'd guess. But my family did what they thought was best for me. I almost died again at my own hand and they had to go through all that again. Returning to the ward doesn't mean much, but I am in a good place now and I am hoping to write again. Let the fun begin."
Huh.
This is all mental health. This is a subject about mental health. This is a subject that's dealing with mental health. I think that there, like, I have a lot of questions as far as this, but where I'm thinking this is going back in 2020 is them thinking, she wrote under a pen name. So we kill off the pen name, and the actual person can go on living their life and not deal with all the cyberbullying and all this.
Right.
We're all trying to maneuver this world. nobody's got a playbook for how to handle day-to-day life, real reality, and social and social media or the internet just in general.
Yeah, right.
We're all guinea pigs here, people, and we're figuring this out as we go in real time.
Yep.
Not everybody's going to do it right. More times than not, people are going to mess up. And all I can think is I don't know enough about this subject to make fun of or to like throw punches or anything like that.
Yeah.
I hope that she's well. I hope she's feeling better. I don't think that it is cool to lie about these things. Part bugs me a bit. But
over 2 years?
Yeah.
That seems a bit... What? Yeah, that made me raise my eyebrows a little bit.
If she had one fan that was devastated by that, that's your mental... You don't get... I feel for anybody, and I have empathy for every single person under the sun that is dealing with anything until you hurt, until you create victims.
Yeah.
The moment you hurt somebody else with your mental problems, I don't care what it is. I don't care the trauma you've been through. I mean, obviously, I do care.
Yeah.
But all that stuff doesn't mean anything the second you hurt somebody else.
Right.
The second you take your actions, your frustration, all this stuff out on somebody else, you cease to get any empathy from me whatsoever.
Because you're perpetrating. You're continuing it. You're perpetuating the same thing that happened to you. And that is not healthy. That is not good.
I talk about this in the meetings that I'm in and in different groups. I was sexually abused. If I were to do that, I deserve to be thrown away, locked up, never see me again, anything like that, of all people, because I know better. I've been through it.
You know how bad it is, right?
Yeah. And I know that there is a lot of layers to this and a lot of gray area and a lot of things that people can shout back at the radio and stuff. Well, what about this? What about that?
Life is complex.
Yep. Yep. I understand that.
Yeah.
I get it. Trust me. But it does, to me, there is no gray area in that one. You don't get a chance, you don't get a pass, no matter what your mental health issues are, if you're hurting other people.
Especially if you know that you're dealing with these issues. You know what it can cause, how the other trauma you can cause in other people by doing the same things that happened to you. So, yes, then you have to grab a handle on it. Then you have to figure out, how do I help me before I do anything like that?
I do think of Sylvia Plath a little bit with this, too.
That's true.
I think it's just because it's a writer and it involves suicide, but I don't know. And this one here... This is an interesting one. So.
Okay.
Actors who hated working together.
These are always fun.
Yeah.
You don't Maybe gossipy, but I like it.
You don't have to like to work with them, and that's just as true with any industry, any job. Everybody has worked with people they don't like and been able to handle things and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there are divas and actors. I will say that I've been very fortunate in the industry. I've worked with a handful of names, and I've worked with a lot of actors on my level. And the only divas I've worked with are in community theater. Seriously, man. Like,
Wait a minute, Russell Crowe. I think you have to throw him in there.
Say, I was just going to say, I didn't necessarily want to count that because was a read through.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't get to film with him. So he might have been a different person then.
True.
He has shown his colors and he has come around on that.
Yeah.
I want to give Russell Crowe credit for having some realization. Now, you get your career taken from you, you get kind of start.
It kind
to
of brings
act
it
right.
home, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know how much credit you deserve, but he does seem to genuinely realize, hey, I was a jerk before. Trying to get better. And that's something actually that is a bit of a theme with this topic here.
Oh, okay.
Is I guarantee, there was more than just me that was upset with Russell Crowe that day at that read-through for Steel movie. Like Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep during Kramer versus Kramer. Two of the greatest actors of all time.
Oh, yes.
I have no problem if somebody came up to me and said Meryl Streep was the greatest actor they've ever seen. I have no
issue
would
accept
with
that
whatsoever.
Yep.
So during the filming, Kramer, they're, of course, playing wearing spouses. But Meryl felt Dustin overstepped when he ad-libbed a slap that made it into the movie. Ooh. Dustin later apologized, but this is something that is a bit of a theme with Dustin Hoffman in movies. He's usually one person or two people on set he seems to upset. He doesn't seem like that guy.
He really doesn't.
But the history is there.
And there is a line. I'm sorry. I don't care.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I don't care how much you're into it. And Hoffman is a method guy, I think, right?
Yeah.
And so, I understand, that's maybe where it comes from. But no, you can't do that. I'm sorry. You can't do that.
I am as method as it gets, and I work really hard at that to stay in line. If I'm on stage and somebody screams, my own mother screams, James, I'm not responding.
Yeah.
and that's not me, the actor. That's me, the crazy person. That's how deep I get into these
characters. Professional, yeah, right.
And even I know there's a line where you
can't
don't...
do that.
Okay, what's Kramer, late 70s, early 80s?
It was like late 70s, early 80s, yeah.
Even then, by then, you know it's wrong.
You can't do that.
Doing something like that.
No,
like,
sorry.
Man, imagine that happening today, like in this day and age.
Oh, canceled Ooh. Immediately.
Winona Ryder and Gary Oldman, two of my favorite actors. Bram Stoker's Dracula. Winona says that they were really great during rehearsals. They got along great. Gary,
interesting,
famously known as one of those actors that there's many stories that Daniel Radcliffe has told of him having trouble with scenes and Gary Oldman taking him to the side and helping him and working with him. He did that with the other young actors at Harry Potter, a lot of that stuff. Gary Oldman, for me, top five greatest actors I've ever seen. And I love Winona Ryder, one of my first crushes.
Of course.
So I remember this story, and I remember them talking about this a lot. And Winona says that everything was great in rehearsals, but when they started shooting, she said things changed, and she felt, quote, felt like there was danger.
Ooh.
Gary is a method actor again, and he was playing Dracula, who that is the love of his life that he thinks is brought back to life and wants her more than anything and all this and the possessiveness and all that stuff. And
right.
This is where I pull back from method acting because I think that you can do both. I think you could be Heath Ledger. He's filming the Joker. He's famously passed because of the way that messed with him and the recovery process and, you know, all this stuff with doctors. This doctor prescribed him this and this doctor prescribed him that.
And that's what happened,
that.
Right? Yeah.
He wrote, he kept a journal where he was the Joker writing to get into character, all this stuff. When Christopher Nolan would say, cut, he'd find a skateboard and go skating around. He was a prankster. He would joke with people and stuff. Jack Nicholson, one of the greatest you've ever seen. Jack, constant prankster. Always pranking people. Always messing with people. Yep. He would show up on set in like a funny costume just to make people laugh. During The Shining, you know, like... You can do
both. Tense movie, yeah.
You can do both.
You're absolutely right.
You don't got to be Daniel Day-Lewis who won't even talk to the extras because I am Abraham Lincoln, and Abraham Lincoln wouldn't talk to you. Like, what do you get out
First of
here,
all,
man?
That's not true. He would talk
yes,
to you.
Yes,
he's a politician.
Would, yeah.
I mean, come on. Anyway.
Great point by you. Nice.
He would talk to anybody.
Gary Oldman has come out a number of times and talked about this. They have since made up quite a few times.
That's good.
I do believe that they are friends again. And
something to consider how young she was.
Yeah,
at the time, and very, you know, and that, and I'm saying that because it would be kind of scary for her, you know, just a young actor with someone who's very experienced and stuff. So that would make sense.
Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn during Four Christmases. Reese is pretty meticulous about rehearsals and learning lines, while Vince is a huge ad-libber. The tension it caused was so bad enough that they cut a sex scene from the movie because Reese didn't even want to pretend to be intimate with him. Dang.
Ouch.
Yeah. Woof. That's a tough one.
But I gotta give her, you know. But first of all, sex scenes.
Eh.
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 Meh.
So overrated.
So we don't need them anymore. We can get by with them.
Yes, please, for the love of God, stop with the sex scenes.
They're not that sexy. I feel bad for... All I do is feel bad for the actors. Like, oh, man, they had to do that. Oh.
I'm an adult. I know what sex is. We can move on now, okay? I get it. Ooh, they love each other. Okay, they're attracted to each other.
They can kiss, and we're good, okay? You know.
And moving on. Yeah. I don't need to... wasting 20 minutes on this is really...
Because they're all the same.
They're all... Every sex scene in human history is the same.
You got that cheesy music in the... Yeah.
I will say Team America from the South Park creators, that's a little different.
Oh, no. You had to bring that up. No,
It's a horrible one. I shouldn't have done that. I should not have done that. And finally, Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams from The Notebook. Now, this is an interesting one because they dated for a couple of years and famously are still very good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Care very much about each other, apparently. But they hated each other for the first couple of weeks. They had to work on their issues in a meeting with the producer and director where they, quote, started screaming and yelling at each other.
Wow.
And I think it's part of the reason why that movie's so good. Like, they genuinely went through this off camera, what their characters were kind of going through in the movie.
That's really interesting. That's fascinating.
Unintentional. Completely organic.
Yeah.
But it just happened that way. And both incredibly good actors.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Very good at what they do. David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, another famous one that didn't get along very much, but also eventually kind of came around. Gillian Anderson, quote, there were definitely periods where we hated each other. We didn't talk for long periods of time. It was intense. We were both pains in the butt for other reasons at various times.
Yeah.
And they have since kind of made up. Obviously, mm-hmm. they've redone they did a show together again and stuff.
Yeah. So.
So that'll do it for that, though. But that is an interesting one. Very interesting one. We will take a break. We'll take our break right here. We'll
okay.
come back and we'll get and after Melissa's news, that's where we'll get into our day in music history.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll do that coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here at WFHR. Seth and James here with you. We wanted to touch on this one. It is National Bird Day.
That's true. It is.
And we are, there's a couple topics you know we're going to cover. Dolly Parton, local information and news and sports and all that stuff and everything. And Guinness Records.
Yeah.
So we have to cover a Guinness record that involves a bird.
Let's do it.
And this one is wild, man. Literally, it's in the wild. It is wild, though. Guinness World Records announced a juvenile bar-tailed godwit broke the record for the longest nonstop migration by a bird when it flew 8,435 miles from Alaska to Tasmania, Australia.
Oh, my gosh.
The record-keeping organization said the bird, known by tag number 234684, was wearing a 5G satellite tag when it departed Alaska on October 11th of 22 and landed in Tasmania 11 days later without stopping a single time for food or rest.
11 straight days?
In other words, every dad's dream. I just drive. No stopping here, no stopping there. Did everybody go? It's just dead. This was a dad bird.
Yep, no and eating. Nope, no, nothing.
Going right there. A to B, people. GWR said the record was previously set in 2020 by another member of the same species, and this year's godwit broke the record by 217 miles.
Jeez.
Wow. Eric Waller of BirdLife Tasmania told Guinness World Records the record-breaking bird probably lost half or more of its body weight during continuous flight and night flight.
Jeez.
Short-tailed shearwaters and mutton birds can land on the water and feed. If a godwit lands on water, it's dead. It doesn't have the webbing in its feet. It has no way of getting off. So if it falls into the ocean's surface from exhaustion or if bad weather forces it to land, that's
it. It's done.
Dang.
Wow.
Dang. That is determination.
That is
people.
A determined bird right there.
Man, the next time I get tired, that is popping right in my brain. I just know the way my brain works. Yeah. I know.
Just think about that bird, man.
I'm out there shoveling and my back is, you know, screaming at me and I want to go inside and everything. Well, think about the godwit. The godwit can't give up, James. Oh, all right, I'll stay out
here. Stay for 11 days. It flies 8,000 miles.
I don't want the godwit that bragging rights over me. I don't want to. How cool is that?
That's an amazing trip. So my question is, why that particular place? Why does it go to all the way to Tasmania? Oh, yeah, yeah. That to me is a fascinating question. When it could go to any number of places that are, you know, like warm or whatever it is it's looking for. I have no idea, but wow.
I love the idea of this of one of these poor godwits like getting too tired and it has to land. And it lands, but it lands in like Costa Rica. Like it is like, wait a minute. There's other warm places? I don't have to go to Australia?
Oh, this is awesome.
I got to tell the guys about this. I'm tweeting this.
Oh, whoa. Oh, that was terrible. Oh, my gosh.
And completely unintentional.
Oh, man.
I didn't even mean to say it.
Turn off his mic. Come on. What the heck? Jeez. Of course it was unintentional. They always are.
I'm broken. I can't. We're going to Mel's news.
He broke himself this time. Jeez.
We're going to Mel's news. We'll come back with less puns and more fun. Even that was bad.
He's on a roll, ladies and gentlemen. He's on a roll.
WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, and it's time to take a listen down memory lane. With our show Inside the Show, Rock History 101.
Yeah.
Longtime listeners of the show remember this, Seth and I doing this not even a year ago, really. Or,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't that long ago.
It was not that long ago.
I made it sound like we were doing this ages ago or something. Yeah.
Back in our day.
Yes, yes. But it's, you know, we got such good feedback from the audience about mm-hmm. doing this. And, you know, people wanted it back. So we're going to do this.
Let's do it.
We go to January 1940, January 5th, 1940, for our first moment where the FCC hears the first demonstration of FM radio.
1940, all the way back then. Wow. And it's really amazing to see. It took a while to catch on. It really did. It wasn't until like good 15, 20 years later that FM became an actual thing. So that's pretty remarkable. That it, sometimes new technologies do take a while to catch on.
It's funny how when those things start up, usually you have the pushback of, oh, that'll never work.
Yeah,
oh, that'll never
true,
last or something like that.
Absolutely.
On this day in 1965, the Supremes record Stop in the Name of Love at Motown Studios in Detroit. I'm sorry, they recorded
Stop it. Okay.
In the Name of Love at Motown Studios in Detroit soon after they embark on their first Motown review tour in Europe.
Oh, wow.
I have here a little clip of the Supremes from the Hollywood Palace in 1965, and I think you might recognize this young, handsome young man talking here.
Now let's meet the number one singing trio in the country today. With the song that brought them to the top of the record field, they're good-looking youngsters with long hair, and on them it looks good because they're girls. The Supremes.
Just so darn good. First off, that was, of course, Dick Clark.
No, that was Tony Randall.
I mean, Tony Randall.
Daniel Randall.
Tony Randall.
Sorry. Yeah.
Without an ascot.
Like, I know. I wear your regular suit. Yeah.
I forgot what Tony looked like without an ascot. I also, I don't know if this is okay or not to mention on the air or not. Maybe I should mention it off air. I'm not looking at you, and I'm hearing him talk.
Yeah.
I never noticed how much you and Tony Randall sound alike.
Really?
It's your delivery.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Is very similar. Listen to him sometime. It's
how about
similar.
That?
It's interesting.
Okay, okay.
Classic song.
And yet I played Oscar. I don't know why, you know.
Right? Yeah, right? That's weird.
That's the wrong guy.
I was going to say it off air, but yeah, that's funny to me. Of course, a huge hit for the Supremes and would go on to, you know, help put them on the map, really, along with plenty of other things.
Can I just say something really quick about that? And I apologize in advance, but man. Those are three gorgeous women. I just got to say,
they were.
Saw the video.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
you ain't kidding, man. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. In 1974, the Carpenters compilation album, The Singles, 1969 and 1973, is released and hits number one immediately.
Makes
Mainly,
sense.
You got to think with songs like this.
Yep.
Why do birds suddenly...
Dylan in 68 had a greatest hits album come out that went certified gold as well. A number of artists around this in the next 3-4 years here would have greatest hits albums come out. Don't know if that was like necessarily the beginning of that, or if there was a rise in it or anything, but did seem interesting.
Yes, I gotta say that Karen Carpenter, one of the most distinctive singing voices you will ever hear. Wonderful voice.
Her story, her voice, her writing, everything about her.
And she was a drummer.
Life. Yes.
She started out playing drums.
How has it, or am I wrong here? Has there been a Karen Carpenter biopic?
There was one. There was a TV one, I think. I remember seeing it. It was actually not too bad. It was actually pretty good.
I got to think some actress could really, like, win an Oscar playing that. Like, you did
it's a great story.
You
yeah.
did a genuine, like, did right by her and her legacy and her memory and stuff. I got to think that that'd be a pretty good film. In 1979, the soundtrack of the 70s, really, the double album soundtrack to the film Saturday Night Fever reaches sales of 25 million worldwide, making it the best-selling LP in history. Soundtracks were always big.
Yep.
Soundtracks were always good. Any chance for a producer to see money, they were going to take it. Oh, I can combine these worlds and we can both make money. This is great. The music industry is good. The film industry is great. That's awesome. We're both starting out here. Or not starting out, but we're both still trying to find our way.
Yep.
And if we work together, this would be great.
Yep.
This changed the game. I'm not a Bee Gees guy. I don't like disco or anything like that. I'm a funk guy. I like Parliament and all that. But you got to respect this album, what the Bee Gees did.
Yep.
It changed the game. Like now, like especially when we were kids, there were so many times where a soundtrack was 1,000 times better than the movie.
Yes, but the 80s was full of it.
Yeah.
It really was. And speaking of upcoming biopics, they've got one coming out in like a year or two. So if you're a Bee Gees fan, there you go.
Should be very interesting.
It would be very interesting.
There are a handful of songs that you hear in almost every karaoke night, and some of them are better than others, and some of them are better versions than others. One of my favorite songs of all time, and because I remember being a kid and having a boombox, and we're, you know, you're trying to find something to listen to on the radio, you're trying to find something that's interesting, and a friend comes over and is like, gives us a tape, and you got to listen to this, you got to hear this. And on that tape was the message from Grandmaster Flash and Rapper's Delight. And this song, changed the game.
It did.
The original version is like 14 minutes long and everything. So that didn't have a whole lot of radio play.
No.
But DJs love being able to be on the curve of a trend. I think it all comes back to Alan Freed. Every DJ, whether you realize it or not, is always going to like want to be that.
The guy who breaks the big song, right? Yeah.
Can I be the person that coins an industry? You know?
Like, yeah, exactly.
I'm going to be the guy that came up with rock and roll. The term rock and roll.
Like,
every DJ kind of has that in the back of their brain, whether they realize it or not. And being able to do that in those 80s, in the early, late 70s, early 80s with hip hop, again, game changer.
It was.
And this beat is eternal.
Yes.
This beat will last.
The chic beat. Yep.
Eternal. Will always get people out on the dance floor.
Yes. I have to give a shout out to, this was Sugar Hill Records was the one who released this. And that was run by Sylvia Anderson, who was the Sylvia of Mickey and Sylvia from Love is Strange fame.
It's crazy.
She stayed in the industry and she was one of the first people who really caught what hip hop could be in terms of popularity. And because of that, speaking of whole industries, there you go.
Yeah, she is one of the reasons why hip hop is where it is. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
In 1997, on this fun little TV show that's doing pretty good for itself, The Simpsons, Johnny Cash plays a coyote. Homer Simpson's imaginary guru on The Simpsons, coyote while I talk about it, let me just play a little bit of it for you.
Fear not, Homer. I am your spirit guide.
Are you?
There is a lesson you must learn.
If it's about laying off the insanity peppers, I'm way ahead of you.
No. I speak of a deeper wisdom. The problem, Homer, is that the mind is always chattering away with a thousand thoughts at once.
Yeah, that's me, all right.
Yeah, it's a classic episode.
It is a classic, absolutely.
It's a good one. And it would it really, like, there was a lot of people that guest spotted on The Simpsons plenty.
Oh, for sure.
Michael Jackson had already been on the show before that and everything, and that's kind of the one that really brought it home.
Yep.
But for a lot of reasons, when Johnny Cash got on, it opened up a whole new avenue of people that wanted to be on The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was a lot of them reaching out to people. I don't think a lot of people understand this. Johnny Cash reached out to them and wanted to be on the show. He loved The Simpsons. He loved cartoons. He liked, laughing. He liked laughing. He's
really?
A human being.
Yeah, all right. We love laughing.
It was one of these meetings of creative minds where everybody was happy. And Johnny's experience was so good that after that, Eric Idle and John Cleese and a lot of the guys from Monty Python wanted to be on and so many other people.
Who hasn't been on The Simpsons at this point? I don't know. They've had just about everything. I just love the idea of, let's see, we got Johnny Cash here. What are we going to do? Let's turn him into a space coyote.
Yes, yes.
Which is brilliant. I mean, it's classic.
Oh, that is pretty good.
And the fact that he's willing to be a space coyote was great.
He was willing to do it.
He was willing to do it.
You ask, it's a great statement, by the way, that who hasn't been on The Simpsons? Me. I haven't been on The Simpsons yet.
The bitterness is just palpable.
Sadness, Seth. Sadness. In 2002, when the Pittsburgh Steelers are down 24-7 in the playoff game against the Cleveland Browns, they play Renegade by Styx. And it fires up the crowd, and it impels them to comeback win. The song becomes a regular feature at Steelers home games, played in the second half when the team needs a boost. And they're still doing it.
They still do that? Really? I didn't know that.
20-some years later, and they're still doing it.
Could have picked a better song.
I wasn't going to say it.
I will say it. Not a big Styx fan. I don't know if you figured that out yet.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, to wrap up our day in rock history, the show inside the show, the Flaming Lips frontman Wayne Cohn marries his longtime girlfriend Katie Weaver in his hometown of Oklahoma City. Hilarious to me that some of the Flaming Lips are from Oklahoma City.
They're from Oklahoma City. Right. Very incongruous, yes.
The wedding itself takes place inside a plastic bubble like the one Kanye uses in To Surf the Crowds. Wishing that couple a lot of love and happiness. One of the more funny, silly, fun bands out there.
They were the perfect band. I remember during the pandemic, they were like, we can still play. We're inside bubbles. We're not going to give it to anybody.
But that is going to do it for your day in rock history for this Thursday. Join us the next time Seth and I hang out. We will do this all over again and have some fun with it. Thanks a lot, everybody. So we'll stick around. We'll come back with some good stories, that and right stories, and plenty more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James here. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour, where after that, after CBS News, we'll welcome in, of course, our good friends from Morning Magazine. We've got a bunch of great guests today. Nick Goldberg going to be with us, Melinda Verdone, and we're going to talk about some great things over at Midstate in opening segment. And then in part two, Jasmine will join us for H Associate Educator at UW Extension. Mm-hmm. Gonna be a fun one.
Yeah.
This, not so much fun, as we get our feature That Ain't Right story today.
Okay.
Although you can make an argument that we've had a couple of That
Ain't Right. Oh, have we already? Woo.
If you bought your kid this toy for Christmas, hopefully you gave it a test run. A mom on TikTok posted an angry video after she realized a toy her toddler got was telling him inappropriate off-color jokes.
Oh, no.
It's a fake remote control made by a company in Japan called Linsay. L-I-N-S-A-Y.
Okay.
It's yellow with pink and blue buttons, and the box says it's for kids 3 and up. Mm. But when you push the buttons, it tells jokes, and some are not for children that are young.
Oh, no.
The kid's great-grandmother bought it for him for Christmas, apparently through Walmart.com. Mm-hmm. And while he was using it, his family heard it say something about something really messed up.
Okay.
the mom reached out to the company, and they said they've stopped selling it while they look into what happened.
Okay.
Walmart says a third-party seller listed it on their site, and they've stopped selling it, too. Other sites have pulled it down as well, including Lowe's, Macy's, Office Depot, and et cetera.
Hmm.
This is one of the troubles with online shopping.
It's true, yeah.
You think you're going to Amazon and Walmart and these companies, and you're going to a reputable place, and they sell off, you know, or they just sell stuff from a third-party company.
Right, right.
Because they don't have enough money. They don't have enough products of their own to sell.
Apparently. Yeah, right.
It's one of those things that they have to really get figured out before consumers figure it out. And by figure it out, I mean stop going to them.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. I mean, you can see it on Amazon right now. If you go to Amazon right now and you check out, you know, you say, oh, wow, that's a great deal on this thing. And then you see where, you know, it's like coming from like way overseas the shipping is this high, you know, the super expensive. Yeah, it's not a good deal. But you have to be, because Amazon doesn't care.
Right.
I mean, they're just putting it up there, and they're saying, yeah, whatever, you know, buyer beware, I guess.
You gotta do your own policing on this one, do your own homework.
You do.
This happens on Amazon to me all the time, where I see a shirt, and I'm like, oh, that's a really cool shirt.
Yep.
Oh, I've never seen that before. That looks different than anything I've seen anybody else wearing or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look into that. Oh, wait, it takes 2 months to get here. I see it's from this place.
I
don't buy it.
I
did it one time years and years ago. It took 3 months for the shirt to get here. It was I ordered an extra large. That thing wouldn't even fit on me. It would not even fit on me.
That's saying something.
My dog at the time, Chloe, was a blue tick heeler. Pretty good sized dog and everything. Yep. Wouldn't fit on her. Like, it wouldn't even fit. They were just trying to put something on her when she was going outside or something like that. And it wouldn't even fit on her. You got to be really looking. You really got to just
be careful.
Especially, you see a price that you really like.
Look into that. Mm-hmm. Is it too good to be true? Probably. Probably.
On the other side of this, though.
Yes.
I think that they missed the mark. They should not have taken this off the mark. They just need to change the marketing of this.
That's right.
That's all they got to do. Who wouldn't love having a little box that just tells great jokes all the time? You just hit that button and it tells a joke. It makes you laugh. Sounds great. If you're an adult.
If you're an adult, especially certain, you know, certain kinds of jokes.
This
although that one sounds like it get old really fast.
I feel like this isn't going to hit home unless I give a little context. So I'm going to give one of the jokes.
Okay, all right.
What makes clip clop bang sound? An Amish drive-by. That's horrible.
That's horrible.
That's for little kids.
Besides, that's old. I've heard that joke before. It's an old joke.
It's very, very old.
Yes, but you're right. Not appropriate.
Yeah. What? In what world did you think that this was okay for three and up? You know, I mean, by up, did you mean like way like the 30s? Like,
yeah. Well, of course, they don't really know what the Amish are or anything like that. But anyway.
So keep an eye out on those things.
Yeah.
Be sure to, you know, really look into that stuff. Before you're using your hard-earned money.
That's right. That's right.
Get to some good stories of the day. In Boston, a potentially revolutionary treatment for deadly brain cancer is showing promising early signs in mice, both for the eradication and prevention of tumors and individual cancer cells.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
A vaccine in the true sense of the word, the method involves reproducing living cancer cells to destroy the tumors which spawn them.
Wow.
Cancer cells have very particular characteristics, mm-hmm. one of which potentially makes them even better cancer killers than immune molecules.
Isn't that fascinating?
Crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Wow.
The characteristic is their ability to travel long distances through the body, returning to the tumor they came from.
Wow. Whoa.
Whoo.
That's crazy.
Ooh.
That's some.
I not only is that cool, but I love a good revenge story. And that, to me, is a great revenge story. I don't know.
Everything turns into a movie script for
it
you.
It does.
I'm telling
it does.
You.
It completely does. My whole life. It does. I like that, though.
That's still good. Yes, I agree with you.
How fascinating. By using a similar technique to CRISPR called CRISP Ca6S9, researchers at Birmingham and the Women's Hospital in Boston were able to change proteins within living cancer cells to prime tumors and other cells for deconstruction.
Wow.
The priming got the immune system involved, which then resulted in the mice in an immunological memory, just like vaccines for viruses.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we are that much closer to curing cancer in the brain.
At least some kinds, yeah. So,
yeah,
cancer is it is so diverse, it's really hard to, you know, there's no cure-all we're ever going to find for that.
No.
But certain kinds, it seems like we are really making some headway in.
This vaccine could cure and even prevent brain cancer development. So, you know,
I mean, come on. That's great.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
You can read this entire article. There actually is a couple of great articles out there, but I'll just reference the Good News Network and Andy Corbley and the work that he did there. You can go to goodnewsnetwork.org to find that complete article.
Cool.
I encourage you to do that, everybody.
That is some good news.
It goes a lot more in depth to like the science behind it and everything.
And you don't have to make James read all those words anymore. read it yourself.
And you don't want that. You definitely don't want that. We get to some good stories of the day. A woman in Florida just got her engagement ring back 20 years after she flushed it down the toilet.
Was that accident or on purpose?
Yeah.
That's I'm curious.
It happened at the guy's parents' house right after they got engaged.
Oh, no.
She took it off to wash her hands and knocked it into the bowl.
No.
She actually cleaned out their septic tank looking for it back then and never found it.
Oh, wow.
But a plumber did last month while replacing their toilet. So the guy's parents cleaned it up and gave it to her as a surprise Christmas gift.
Oh, wow.
I want to know her face when she sees that
ring. Can you imagine?
I want to see that reaction, man.
That would have been, that's what a story. Wow.
I love the idea of her getting excited, freaking out, putting it on, and then realizing, wait, did you guys clean this first? You cleaned it first, right?
Yeah, of course, yes.
Like that. A woman in West Virginia named Sharon Day just got her wallet back 54 years after she lost it in the high school dance.
Oh, jeez. 54 years.
A contractor found it while renovating the building. He tracked her down on Facebook a week later.
How about that?
Huh.
How about that? My goodness.
Really cool. Firefighters in Indiana saved a goose that got frozen to the ground on the shores of Lake Michigan last week.
Oh, no.
Really incredible film work that came with this too. They took it to a wildlife rehab placement for treatment, and it's going to be okay.
Awesome. That's cool.
It's a very. There's also a cool video of these ducks. Like, ducks are so much smoother than we realize, man. Ducks are cool. The way they go sliding onto the ice, like, they just. It is just so cool to watch that. I've never seen that before. I saw that. I always got caught on this video of just watching these ducks. Just
webbed feet. Yeah. It's the webbed feet. It's got cool. Lots of surface area to work with, like, there. Yeah.
Like Patrick Kane on the ice, man. Just yeah. Let's see. And the owner of a pizza place in Scotland is starting the year by doing something nice for people. He knows money's tight, so he's giving out free pizza for the entire month of January. He expects it'll cost him about $14,000, but he's doing it.
I think I just heard my oldest child buying a ticket for Scotland.
Yeah,
I think he's heading over there right now.
Yeah, buy two.
Yeah.
I'm going with him. We'll be out of here for now, everybody. We're going to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Mm-hmm. Seth, we wish you a great day.
Thank you very much. You too, everybody.
Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.